This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up and down these Michigan roads, yeah.
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
Well, hi there, I'm Jim Irvin, and this is Time Signatures. Not long ago, I had the pleasure of speaking with Earl Thomas Bridgman, and in the course of our many discussions since, I was introduced to today's guest virtually. Earl describes him as a conduit in music. He doesn't talk about it, he just does it. In fact, he cites a song that he heard first shortly after it was released a couple years ago called Whirlwind, and it was at that time that Thomas knew the young man had more than the gift of music in his corner. Now, 2 years later, he continues to learn and grow. And if you want to see some of his current work, you only need look at Earl Thomas's new single, Funky Street. You might know him better as the Fallbrook Kid. Anthony Cullins, it's a pleasure to have you. Welcome to Time Signatures. How are you?
Good, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's an honor to have you. And, you know, honestly, dude, I don't even know where to begin with you because there's so much here to talk about. But I want to go back a little bit to the beginning. How old were you when you picked up the guitar for the first time?
So I started playing when I was 10. I did odd jobs like mowing lawns and stuff like that to save up $100 to go to Costco to get the guitar.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So I saved up money to buy that. Started playing when I was 10. My parents put me in lessons and then kind of went from there. I started gigging. Playing out live when I was 12.
Nice.
And it's just been, my life has been ever since.
So was this kind of like an awakening moment for you, as in you just sort of knew your way around the instrument immediately, or did it take some serious time and study to get where you are today?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I was definitely a fast learner. I definitely wanted to do it, so that played a big part in, I think, just having a pretty fast growth period.
Okay. And your father, I saw an interview where he talked about carting you all over the place when you were gigging and just getting started. That must have been something, huh?
Yeah. Those are just some of the best times. And yeah, my parents are really super supportive. And my dad would take me to all these jam sessions and just different things, different gigs, and just super just supportive. And, you know, he would have to be up for work at like 3 a.m. to get up to get ready for work. And a lot of times he'd be taking me on weekdays and stuff like that. So,
wow.
Yeah, he's super awesome.
Now, Anthony, at what point did you realize that the life of a musician was in the cards for you? I mean, there had to be that little aha moment.
I mean, I don't know. I just started playing out enough and realizing that I could charge more. And just, I don't know, just when things started, you know, the ball started rolling more, I think it was just kind of obvious. But I don't know, I mean, I at one point I was working part-time at a fruit packing warehouse in Rainbow, California, doing forklift operating and stacking boxes onto pallets, making cardboard boxes. So like, I don't know, I think it's been interesting to like see both sides of it. And now I just have been doing music full-time and luckily been able to stay afloat. I don't know, I think probably like around the time I was 18 is when I started to get things going more, I think, money-wise, like, you know, just on my own and stuff, I think.
Yeah.
But it's always been a thing. I've always been making money from it since I've started playing out, playing for cheap, you know. So it's always been, right, like a good, like, foundation. So, yeah, I don't know. But very super, super grateful for all the people that have been supportive the whole way. And yeah, sure. It's just been a really great learning experience and a great ride and getting to cross paths with people like Earl Thomas.
Now, Anthony, I want to ask you, as you were beginning your journey playing the guitar, who were the artists that inspired you, that you learned most of your stuff from when you started out?
Oh, man, I liked everything from Mick Ronson from the early David Bowie stuff to
okay,
Peter Green.
Oh, yeah.
to just honestly just everything, like kind of would go down the rabbit hole with each genre. And my parents would always play like a lot of like R&B, soul and stuff like that. And my dad would play like a lot of rock stuff. You know, ever since I was little, I was already used to Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin and, you know, all the stuff that you get into. And then from there on, I would just start doing my own homework and getting into, you know, deeper cuts and just different bands in those genres. Sure. But I've always been like that with every genre of music. So like, I like everything from Django Reinhardt to Peter Green to Al Di Meola to Jeff Beck to, I just like
That's
it
a
all.
Nice palette, man. That's a good sample.
I like it all. Yeah, I just like it all. I like all music, and not necessarily all guitar driven, guitar based music. I'm into all kinds of stuff.
Now, I know that you've heard this before, but you really do have a cool 70s sound, Anthony.
Thank
talk
you.
About talk about your overall sound that you've developed through the years, because you truly have made this your own, haven't you?
Yeah, I just started writing stuff like that, and that's just the way it started to come out. And I don't know, it's just been working out pretty good. When I was recording some of that stuff with Whirlwind, we did Big Fish Studios, I think, in La Costa, California, kind of Carlsbad area, somewhere over there. But anyways, we did it over there, and when we asked our friend Tim Felton to engineer it and to help us out with it, and we asked our other friend Jesse Duello to write the horn parts for it, it just became pretty clear that that instrumentation was going to work really well with that type of music that I was writing. And it just really just added a whole new life to it. And so I think from then on, like with the EP I did, Moving On, Dave Blackburn, who produced it and engineered it and recorded it, who's brilliant. He's really awesome, full of wisdom when it comes to this kind of stuff. He had the idea to add horns on those songs as well, and flutes. And so it just really captures that essence of that vibe and that era.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And it really works, though, with that stuff. It's not like I was writing with that intention, like, oh, yeah, I hear this and
no,
that.
No, it's actually got a very cohesive sound. It's got a very natural flow to it. And
yeah,
I was there the first time around, so I know what the 70s sound like, man. I'll tell you what. Listening to your music that I've heard on a couple of different locations, absolutely love the sound, man.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Cool. Now, I never like to make a big deal of age here, because it really doesn't matter, except for the fact that it can mean for the future of a musician. I mean, in your case, you're all a 22 years old, correct?
24.
Oh, you're 24. Okay, I'm off a couple. Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
But the discussion has to be, where will you be 10 years from now, man? I mean, what do you think? What kind of a trajectory do you feel that you're on at this point?
Oh, man. I don't know. I feel like it could go a few ways. But I think what I've been getting into more, and where I definitely see it getting into a lot more, would be definitely doing more session work for people. Definitely doing more recording for others and helping, you know, produce other people's stuff. And definitely keep playing out as much as, you know, I can. And but yeah, just trying to, I think, make a living more on like the production side of things, and but still playing out.
Doing some things on your own. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I wrote a note here for myself because I didn't want to forget to ask you about it. One of the videos that I watched in preparation for our interview today was On the Air with Sully, Little Tommy, and Rusty Nails. They had Chris Goldsmith, a Grammy-winning producer who worked with the likes of Charlie Musselwhite. Actually had a Grammy nomination with The Well, had a winning Grammy for Get Up with Charlie, and also the Delta Hardware. Have you ever had any opportunities to work with him? Has that ever gone anywhere? Because it sounds like you guys had a good chemistry.
Yeah, he's really cool. He's a great, great guy. I actually was asked to play on a few songs of that guy, Sully's album, which Chris was producing. Yeah, Chris Goldsmith was producing it, and they were doing it at Hanson Studios in L.A.
Okay.
Where they, you know, they filmed the Muppets and all that stuff. And cool. So it was pretty cool. So it was pretty surreal going there. My dad and I went there, and Chris was really cool, just really easy to work with, and just, he knows what he wants, and, you know, he runs a pretty organized thing. And it was cool to see the way he works and stuff, man. Yeah, I think it was pretty cool experience, and Yeah, like I said, it was for like one or two songs.
Okay.
On Sully's
Man,
album.
Play your cards right. I know Greaseland Studios is out there with Kid Anderson. Maybe you get a chance to hook up with
Oh,
him and
yeah.
work with him.
Yeah, he's cool. He's a cool guy too.
You've met him already?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm getting ready to do an interview with him. I'm excited about it. But
Oh, nice.
so with the work that you've done studio-wise, have you had any opportunities yet to open for any of your favorite musicians at a concert or an event?
I've opened for some cool people for sure. I've opened for Walter Trout
All right, yeah.
for a few times. I've played with my friend Biebs with her band, and we opened for George Clinton, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
That was probably one of my favorite ones. Playing with Earl once, we went and opened for Los Lobos in Hillsborough, California, Northern California.
Okay.
That was pretty fun. I don't know. I've opened for some pretty cool acts before.
Well, I want to ask you because Walter's one of my favorites in the blues. He's
Oh,
blues
yeah.
rock. Okay. There's no question about that. I don't have any problem with it. I love a little blues with my rock and a little rock with my blues. But what was it like going and opening for him? And when you saw him out there tending business after you opened and you'd gone off the stage and he took the stage, did you ever catch yourself pinching yourself, you know, a little bit to think that you're standing here watching this guy play like that?
Yeah, I think so a little bit. I don't ever get like super like fanboyed, you know, about stuff, but
Right on.
it's definitely a culture shock, you know, when you're doing stuff like that, because you're like, I'm here playing with it. Like, this is crazy. Kind of like you said, you got to pinch yourself where you're like, wait, what? Is this happening?
Well, I mean,
Like,
the history of Walter Trout alone.
Oh, exactly. There's, yeah, that for sure. And definitely felt that when I was playing with Earl in Norway. And we were doing a festival with Deep Purple.
Oh, man.
Dude, so that feeling definitely was very strong. That, yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Talk about that for a minute. What was that like?
So that was with Earl's Gospel Ambassadors, which is like this unreal gospel band. It's such an honor to get to play with those guys. And with the ladies that sing in that group, it's just a killer group. So I'm honored that they have me play with all of them. So yeah, we went to Notodden and Blues Festival in Norway. Earl's done it before in the past, and this is the first time that he was bringing this group to play with him. And I think we did five shows, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
And yeah, it was insane. It was one of the biggest crowds I've ever played to, for sure. The main stage for the opening day, I think all the acts played one or two songs. And I think that crowd, I think when they said they counted it, I think it was 40,000 or 80,000. I can't remember. One of the two, but it was pretty insane. And then all the other shows were like, the minimum was 5,000 people. I did all the shows, at least 5,000. And so it was pretty cool. Like, yeah, getting to do all that stuff and playing like these old churches and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, just really like just crazy venues. Like one of them was a library bookstore. But then in the back, they have this huge venue. So
in a bookstore.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. There is some pretty
Wow.
interesting venues. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Now, for a young guy from California, and you're over in Norway and playing to 5,000 people, what that has to be an adjustment, man. You have to be beside yourself. And I'm not talking about nervous. I'm talking about just mind blown because you're getting these opportunities.
Yeah,
what is
no,
that like, man?
It's super humbling. And it's just like, dang, all right, got to keep it going. Just stay focused and keep the momentum going and stay motivated. And yeah, just they're nice reminders to just keep it going.
Did you take the time to absorb and enjoy that moment too?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. When those moments are happening, they feel like they're going by in slow motion, kind of. But then you look at the time and it's actually gone by so much faster than, you know, it's like, oh, dang.
Well, at least you had a little opportunity to savor it. But I mean, playing for 40,000. And now let's be clear, when you went there the first time, was that your first time in front of a crowd of 5,000 plus?
I don't think it was the first time.
Okay.
But it was definitely not what I mean, I don't know what I was expecting, but for going over there to Europe, it was insane because the audiences there are like so focused, and like especially in Norway, they're super like focused and quiet. And when they clap, they all clap in the same rhythm, like the same cadence, which is pretty interesting to me. Yeah. And they all start at the same time and end at the same time.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And they're just quiet. Like, it's crazy. Like, it doesn't matter the venue. Like, they're just quiet. It's insane.
Yeah, I've heard that the people in Europe seem to have a real passion for the blues and for music in general.
Oh, yeah.
But, Anthony, how do you feel that they received you? I mean, were you welcomed with open arms with your
performance? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I was received pretty well, and nice. Definitely made a lot of friends over there, which is nice, you know. And yeah, I mean, it's always, you never know what, you know, how people are gonna receive you. So it's like, gotta just do what you do, and you know, just stay true to yourself, just play like how you normally would, and don't really try to play to those thoughts. You know what I mean?
Sure. You no, just, I understand.
You just kind of get over that, and then yeah, it just always work. It usually works out. But yeah, like I said, just getting to meet really cool people, and just yeah, some of the nicest people over there. Yeah, it was really, really that was a huge culture shock.
In a good way, right?
Yeah, in a really great way. Yeah. Yeah, London was cool too. With that same group with Earl, we played at Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club, which is like,
oh wow,
super iconic. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, everyone's played there.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
So how about any recordings, any albums in the works? What's going on, man? You got anything coming?
Yeah, so I just put out a 12-song album where I played everything: pedal steel, guitars, bass, ook, drums, bass, keys. I did all the vocals.
Okay.
Yeah, I just put out an album of that, and then I have another 12-song album that I'm getting ready to put out. And then I have this blues album that I've been doing kind of with, inspired by, kind of with some help from Earl Thomas, called Lightning in a Bottle. So that we're working on that one. And then we're working on an album for Earl's band that we've been recording here at my studio, and everything I do here at my studio.
Oh, you have a personal studio too?
Yeah, it's a DIY, but yeah, we get pretty good.
Hey, if it works, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm in right now. But
now, wait a minute. Is that where you guys recorded Funky Street?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that video, yeah.
In your studio.
That's my spot. Yeah. Yeah, so I did the audio, and we had our friend film it.
Well, all right. So that begs the question, what was that like recording that video? I'm telling you, it's a badass video, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm going to make sure to put a clip up or a link.
Yeah.
We'll make sure to have a link in the information section about this episode because people need to see this. And I mean,
oh, thank you.
The cool part about this, Anthony, is again, the song fits the genre feel that you seem to exude when you play. I mean, it was very natural to me to watch you playing it.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. From the looks of your tour schedule, and by the way, before we get done with the episode here, I'm going to talk to you and I'm going to get your information so I can order a copy of the album from you too, because I believe in doing that and supporting the musicians.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Now, from the looks of your tour schedule, you're doing a lot around the greater San Diego area, which certainly gives you some excellent exposure. But from what I'm hearing, you're going to be doing some more traveling, aren't you?
Yeah, staying pretty local until September. And then for about 2 weeks, I'm going with my band and playing like Northern California area.
Nice.
Biscuits and Blues in San Francisco and Club Fox and Redwood City. Just, yeah, a bunch of different rad venues, you know. That's about a little over a week for that run, and then that's with my band, and then I'll be back home playing locally for a while, and then October with that band, with Earl's band that's in the Funky Street video.
Yep,
that's the band that's going to Denmark in October. Yeah, we're playing a festival. I forgot the name of it, but Earl was telling me that like Canned Heat's on the bill, and yeah, some really cool acts around there. Yeah, so that should be fun.
Wow.
So we're doing that. Then I'm home for a while. And then I don't think I'm going back out on the road again until around January with Casey Hensley, who's this pretty rad vocalist you should check out for sure. Yeah, just been playing local and then going out whenever those calls come in, you know, so.
Well, and you have to be excited to be going to Denmark because of the way things went for you the first time you went to Europe. Am I correct in that?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm super excited to go
Chopping
back.
Chopping to the bit?
Yeah, I'm super excited. And it's awesome because I know at least one member in the band has never been to Europe. So I'm excited. And I'm excited that it's going to be his first time. And so curious to see how he reacts.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Now, Anthony, where can we send people to learn more about you? Maybe order a copy of your album, some merchandise if you have it, or book you for a gig.
My website, just anthonycullins.com. My last name is Cullins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you just anthonycullins.com. And you can email me, actually, anthonycullins@gmail.com if you need to reach out for any gigs or anything like that.
Very cool. And I can tell you unequivocally, he will answer you because he answered me. And granted, Earl warmed the waters for me and got that ball rolling. He's the one that told me, you got to talk to this guy, man. You got to talk to him.
Oh, so, man, I appreciate you reaching out and having me on here. I'm glad we could get it to finally happen.
Well, Anthony Cullins, I am excited truly from the bottom of my heart to see what develops for you, man. I saw the pride in your father when he talked about you in the interview, and I'm a father also. I've got three children of my own. But I truly am excited to see what unfolds here. And listen, if you ever have, when that new album comes out and you want to promote it, if you have a tour you want to promote and talk about it, you get in touch with me. The door is always open to you. We'll be glad to have you on for a promotional episode. How's that sound?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Awesome. And again, thank you so much for taking time to join me today on Time Signatures.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And that wraps up this edition of Time Signatures. Once again, my thanks to Anthony Cullins, but also to you, for without you, none of this would be possible. Jim Irvin reminding you, keeping the blues alive is everyone's responsibility, but preserving the history of the blues one story at a time, that's my mission. Until next time, so long, everybody.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on cabs, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.